First of all, thank you for your prayer. I appreciate also your prayer just for spiritual protection. The Lord continues to have us involved in some very important spiritual battles, and so thank you for your prayer. We do need that. I want to do something today I haven't done before, I think, is to come off of the passage that Wayne read this morning, which is our verses that Mary and I have been working on for tonight. In fact, we've been quoting it every day for 3 months. Our last our last scripture memory was, I think, the end of September, and doesn't mean we're going to do it word perfect tonight either, but anyway, the thing that I wanted to say about that is, in going over it and over it, in a very precious passage of scripture out of Isaiah 55, it gives the Holy Spirit an opportunity to bring things to mind and to focus on things that maybe just your reading through the Bible wouldn't do. We do it as part of our devotional time together, and so just want to share a bit out of this, what introduced, where the Lord introduced that his ways and his thoughts are so different than ours, comes at verse 6, where he says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Then he says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Which helps me know that the thing that's on his heart is he does not want people to be lost. He wants people to return to him. The very next thing he said then, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways." And then he went on to say, "There is so different as the heaven is high upon the earth." So I just want to share something today for us to think about his ways, to seek his ways, and Lord willing, focus more next Sunday on the amazing word. For he said, he went on to say, "As the rain cometh down, the snow from heaven, watereth the earth, and does not return thither, but watereth the earth, maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that proceedeth out of my mouth." He says, it shall not return unto me void. It's not going to come back empty, for it's going to accomplish what I sent it to and prosper in the thing where I've sent it. And so just thinking about the power of God's word out of his mouth is going to accomplish in our lives as we respond and allow it to. Let me just ask the Lord to guide as we share a bit about his ways here today. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for sharing your ways and your word with us in the Bible, and the Word of God, that you have helped us to know some about your ways and some about your and the truth of your word. And Lord, we thank you for the blessing of that. And as I just share some thoughts here about your ways that are so different than our ways, I just ask your guidance and the work of your Holy Spirit in my own heart and in our hearts to get more in touch, oh God, with your ways. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I just want to say that what it's done for me, and I know that I'm speaking to people here that love God's word and depend on God's word, and that it's very special to you, and that we want to know his ways. But it has done for me to comprehend more by his grace about the way he works and how he works. It really fits into growing in faith when you understand his ways are at work. And then his word that's so powerful. He said, it comes out of my mouth, and it's not going to come back empty. It's going to accomplish what I sent it to do. I want to, first of all, just remind us that Paul was concerned about that with the Corinthian church. And I just look at several different passages, but they were very much impressed with their thinking and their education and their way of thinking. And we just have to realize that we were made in the image of God, but we sinned and we died spiritually. And so our thinking becomes different than God's way of thinking. And it needs to be changed, and it's the word of God that changes that in us. But Paul spoke to the church of Corinth and their glory and their own wisdom. A couple of passages here in chapter 1:26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty or noble are called. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world and things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are. Which must have been quite an interesting thing for them to think about. Because they thought the wise ones, they're the ones that God is really using. That no flesh should glory in his presence. He went on then in chapter 2 to say, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit, yea, the Spirit searcheth all the deep things of God. And so he said, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We understand them spiritually. You don't come with a natural mind and understand the thoughts of God and the ways of God. But he has given us his word, his Spirit, so that we can enter and know more and more of his thoughts and his ways. And there's several things that I think very important in pursuing the knowing, pursuing to know and understand his ways, to understand his thoughts. And Isaiah 55:11, I just had quoted that, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me empty or void. It will accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. One of the key verses is over in Hebrews 4, that it's alive and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. We really need to understand that the Word of God is set apart from everything else that's written. It comes from his mouth, it comes from his heart, and it's powerful and it's accomplishes. But the second thing is to depend on his Spirit. John wrote in John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. And so we have the Word of God that's alive and powerful, but we have the Holy Spirit that ministers to us and teaches us and reminds us. Third thing that I think is really important and flies in the face of human wisdom, and that is, and it's in two places. It's in Matthew 11, but it's also in Luke 10 that Jesus prayed this prayer. He prayed, it was after the 70 came back, and he hadn't told them what kind of a spiritual battle they were going to run into, but they came back and told him what it was like and how that in his name they had authority over the kingdom of darkness. And he, if you remember, he said to them, don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your name is in heaven. But he said, I have given you that power. And I saw Satan fall like an angel, or giving up like lightning is what he said. Giving up his power, his glory, and became the foe of all that God is wanting to do. But anyway, in that hour, Jesus prayed this. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. For even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. There's something very important to understand in that the things of God and the deep ways of God are not going to come about by some human reasoning and teaching. It's going to come to understand his Spirit, to understand by his Spirit the Word of God. I think education is fine, but it needs to center on the fact that of the truth of God and the ways of God. Because it's interesting that Jesus prayed, I thank you that you've hid these things from the wise and prudent. I looked at a number of other translations that they have it, the wise and the learned. And that's what Paul is speaking to the Corinthians about. It's not something that human intelligence will help you understand. You need to understand to have a learning spirit of humility. I want to consider for a moment Moses. Psalm 103:7 is very interesting to me. The psalmist said, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Those two things are very different. Children of Israel, they saw all the plagues in Egypt. They saw what God did. They saw him open the Red Sea. They come to Kadesh Barnea and said, we can't do it. They saw his acts, but it did not help them understand his ways, that God is going to be with us the whole distance and he's going to do what needs to be done. But he made known his ways to Moses. I'm not sure just when. I think maybe he made that known to him when he was 80. You know that the whole story of Moses, how his mother and father, put him in a basket. The daughter of Pharaoh adopted him. He grew up in the understanding and the wisdom of Egypt. And when he was 40, in Acts it says, he thought surely his brethren would understand how God sent him to rescue them. They didn't understand. And it's true. God had done this very special thing in the ways in bringing him there. But I think then 40 years out there in the wilderness, wandering around, learning what the wilderness was like where he would be, and herding sheep, and then at 80 at the burning bush, and I think that's when he really taught him his ways. And I think he and Thomas, he focused on that too. He said, it was like any old bush will do, but it's the fire in the bush. And the dependence from now on, Moses, that you're going to have in living through me. That was God's way. And it seemed to me as I thought about the difference of seeing his acts and knowing his ways, that knowing his ways will help you walk in faith to know that God has a plan. God knows what he's going to do in your life. He knows what he wants to do in your life. To see his acts means God is powerful. I'm amazed what he did. I can look back and see what he did. But it doesn't help you going on in the future because they would become so discouraged. But for Moses to know his ways, he was able to go on and lead them. And he got discouraged times. But knowing God's ways, he knew God had a plan and that God was going to work it out. I find that I was checking it out in Deuteronomy as Moses shared with the people over and over again. He would talk to them about walking in his ways. A couple of verses, Deuteronomy 8:6. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. In Deuteronomy 11:22, for if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave to him, he will bless you. 32:4, he is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth, without iniquity, just and right. became very important to Moses that his people, in following the Lord, would understand his ways. He introduced his ways there in Isaiah 55 by saying, my ways is for people to return to me. He has compassion on people. He wants them rescued, among many other things. David pursued God's ways. This is from Psalm 25. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Paul in Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. I think one of the places where you really see and comprehend God's ways is in his dealing with his arch enemy, Satan. It's Genesis 3:15, it's an amazing verse. Adam and Eve had sinned. The wicked one had tempted and beguiled her. Adam had also partaken. They now have died spiritually. And he begins to hand out the consequences of that. But you know then in 3:15, it's really, to me, it's akin verse to John 3:16, that the seed of woman is going to bruise your head, serpent. Your seed will bruise his heel. But what he's saying, in his ways, God had a plan to restore what Satan had stolen and what he had brought into pass. He's always trying to destroy what God wants to do. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. And I think it's so clearly his ways are displayed with Job. But first of all, there's a verse in Psalm 16:4 that God made all things for himself, yea, the wicked for the day of evil. I used to wonder, what is that? But God does use the wicked to destroy himself. you know, it's hard for us to comprehend. God opened the way for Satan to bring destruction on Job. But Job stayed true to God. It was discouraging to him. He didn't understand it. He thought he better you never had lived. But in that narrative, Satan, first of all, he testified to the hedge that God caused to be written down so all generations would know about the hedge. You made a hedge around him and all that he has, so I can't touch him. And to depend on the hedge that God brings. The other thing I believe God did that Satan did not see coming is to help the world know how destructive he is, how he moved in and took everything God allowed him to take from Job. And then at the end, when Job prayed for his friend, he turned his captivity and he was done with him. I think of Jesus coming and allowing himself to be under the temptation of that wicked one he had spoken into existence before his fall, and to let him take him to the height of the mountain, to take him to the pinnacle of the temple, and to tempt him with all those things. But it's very clear he had the authority. At the end of it, he said, get thee hence. And Satan left him. He allowed himself to go through those temptations without, so that we can know that he would be the high priest that we definitely need. There's one other thing that comes out of the passage in Isaiah 55 that I wanted to just have us consider. Back in Exodus, or Genesis 3, I'm sorry, the Lord told Adam, it's going to be difficult in the world from now. You're going to have to fight thistles and weeds and all these kind of things are going to be, you're going to have to the sweat of your brow to work. It's going to be difficult. And so we come to the end of Isaiah 55 where he shares. Just a moment here. And I really believe he's talking about the millennium to come, last two verses Wayne read this morning. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. I don't know if you've ever heard the mountains and hills singing to you. The trees of the field shall clap their hands. And I think that's a pretty interesting thought. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. And even in that, I think what he's saying, in my ways, I'm going to give you back. Those that come to me, those that are mine, I'm going to give you back life where it was before the fall. You know, in the end of the creative acts there in Genesis 1, God saw that it was very good. Told Adam, every tree of the field, you can freely eat of everyone except this one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And there had to be a way of choice to be able to display their love for God. He was just not servitude to God. You have choice. God gave us choice. And Satan took advantage of that. And we have a world that's God created and a lot of beauty and all, but it's tough. Those that are out there working, it's tough. But there's a day coming. He says the mountains and the hills are going to break forth before you into singing, and the trees will clap their hands. It's going to be back to be a wonderful place where during the millennium and then on into the eternity, we will see what all God has for us. But I guess the thing I just want to say this morning is that in his ways, God is a restorer. He battles against an enemy that has stolen and killed and destroyed, but God always has a way to restore, has a way to heal, has a way to make it right. And that's his way. I've just been thinking, what a wonderful thing it is that we have a God that is a God of love, a God of redemption. It's his way. It's his way to be able to pay the cost of sending the Lord Jesus. And our Lord Jesus that said, he that's seen me has seen the Father, that he was willing to pay the price. But it's the ways of God. And I want to know more and more of God's ways. And I was thinking about this, that you can look back and see his ways. I just think of some decisions that I made that I'd prayed about, but I didn't know they were so consequential. And I guess I just mentioned one. I felt the Lord led me to go study at Wheaton College. I know in the second year it became too expensive for us, and I don't know how I made the decision. It wasn't too far away from where we lived to go to Vermilion, South Dakota, University of South Dakota. But looking back, I didn't think that was too crucial a decision. Looking back, it opened the door to come to Central Christian, to come to Hutchison, to find Mary. Just know that along the way, pray about your decisions, let God guide you. Sometimes be sure and wait instead of rushing in if you don't feel he's shown you. But in his ways, he knows what he's doing in our lives. Ephesians 2, and I'd say this for myself, for my family, for each of you, for we, those that have trusted Christ, for we are his workmanship, the Father's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he beforehand had ordained that we should walk in them. As a Christian, you're God's workmanship. Seek his ways. Walk in his ways. His ways are higher as the heavens higher than the earth. But he wants us to come to know his ways. May God help us understand his ways. Heavenly Father, I thank you for displaying in this passage in Isaiah 55 about your ways that are so different than our ways. I thank you, Father, that your ways are righteous, that they are right, and that we can get to know your ways as we walk with you. May we seek your ways, Lord, as we go on in our walk with you, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would take your hymnal, it's 453. We sang the verses of it. Let's sing the third verse. In closing, if you'd stand, we'll do that third verse as we close this morning. 453. Verse 3. Just want to thank you this morning, Father, for brothers and sisters in Christ here, and thank you for the privilege of being part of the family. Pray that you would just minister and help us understand each one in the ways that you are working in our lives to bring about your will. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.